So, if you double the guest list for a wedding, your catering bill absolutely doubles. I mean, you have to buy twice as much chicken, right? You need twice as much wine, hire twice as many servers. Well,
It's a direct one-to-one scale.
exactly. But if you double that same guest list, your decor bill might only go up by like 20%. And today we're actually going to prove it.
It completely defies logic until you sit down and look at the actual math. And once you understand the mechanics of event pricing, you sort of stop looking at those perfect Pinterest-worthy wedding photos as magic. You start seeing them as, well, highly engineered logistical projects.
Yeah, they really are. So, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to cut straight through that flawless, swung lighting across a lake illusion of wedding planning and explore the real gritty, sweaty, and honestly very financial reality of wedding decor.
Right, because it is a reality check for a lot of people.
It totally is. So whether you are currently planning a massive event, or maybe you're helping a stressed out friend navigate their budget, or you're just fascinated by the hidden mechanics of large-scale logistics, this dive is going to arm you with insider knowledge, the kind of stuff most people only learn the hard way.
And our guide for this exploration is this remarkably transparent piece of source material. We're looking at a breakdown written by Mai Goldstein, who is a senior event designer at Party Boutiques.
Right.
Yeah, and they operate out of Thornhill, Ontario, serving the greater Toronto area. And what makes this document so uniquely valuable is that it doesn't traffic in like vague aesthetics. It gives us real shelf prices, industry secrets, and actual Canadian dollar amounts for a tangible blueprint.
Which is so rare. I mean, the biggest revelation for me reading through this was realizing that almost everyone, myself included, completely misunderstands what we are actually paying for when we hire an event professional.
We all assume we're just renting someone's good taste, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. But the reality is far more industrial. So before we even look at a single dollar amount, we have to establish who is actually in the room. Because couples constantly confuse three distinct roles: the planner, the florist, and the decorator.
And confusing those roles leads to disastrous budget overlap. I mean, let's start with the planner.
Okay, lay it out for us.
So this is the manager. They handle the spreadsheets, the vendor contracts, the overarching timeline. They dictate the flow of the entire evening.
Yeah.
But Maya points out a critical geographic nuance here, specifically for the GTA. Most banquet halls in the area actually provide an in-house venue coordinator as part of your booking.
Oh, wait. So, which means hiring an independent wedding planner could be totally redundant for a lot of couples.
Exactly. If the venue coordinator is already there managing the wait staff, enforcing the building rules, queuing the kitchen,
You might be paying thousands of dollars for a second manager to just, stand around with a clipboard.
right, it's a massive expense you might not need. Then you have the florist. And this role is highly specialized because they are dealing with organic, highly perishable material.
The stuff that actually needs to stay alive.
Precisely. They handle the fresh stems, the bridal bouquets, the boutonnieres. Their primary battle is against time and temperature. A florist's entire job hinges on keeping delicate biological matter looking vibrant until at least 6 o'clock in the evening.
Which sounds incredibly stressful, honestly.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the decorator. The decorator is designing the physical architecture of the room, the massive archways, the backdrops, the structural lighting.
But more importantly, they're the ones who actually build it.
Right. Looking at this breakdown, the entire dynamic feels exactly like a theater production.
Oh, the stage analogy holds up perfectly when you look at the day of execution.
Think about it. The planner is your stage manager standing in the wings, holding the clipboard, calling the lighting cues, and telling the actors when to walk.
Right, yeah.
The florist is makeup and wardrobe. They're handling those delicate, temperature-sensitive elements that have to look flawless right when the curtain goes up. And the decorator is the set designer.
Yes, they are the ones wearing steel-toed boots, doing the heavy lifting, constructing the physical world that the actors are going to step into.
But taking that set designer concept further, it completely shatters the illusion that decorators just stand around pointing at color swatches and dictating where a vase should go.
Right, because the single most underestimated aspect of a decorator's job, and really the thing you are primarily paying for, is the physical installation.
Wait, hold on. I have to challenge this a bit because if I am paying thousands of dollars to a professional decorator, I am absolutely expecting to pay for their artistic eye.
Sure, of course you want their eye.
Because, I mean, I can rent a cargo van myself. I can buy a ladder at a hardware store. Why isn't their good taste the main selling point?
Because good taste is just the entry fee for the profession.
Oh.
Like anyone can put together a beautiful mood board in their living room. What you are actually buying is a specialized crew, a fleet of vehicles, and the highly specific ability to construct a temporary, structurally sound room under extreme time pressure without, you know, completely buckling under the stress.
Ah, so you're really paying for their stress tolerance.
You absolutely are. Yeah. Let's visualize the chaotic morning of a wedding. Your decorator is hauling 100-pound metal archways and massive crates up the stairs of a downtown brick and beam loft.
Oh, like in Liberty Village or something.
Exactly. They have to build a 10-foot structure, ensure it is perfectly level on an uneven floor, and guarantee it is structurally safe, so a gust of wind from an open window doesn't send it crashing down on the couple.
Which would be a disaster.
Right. And they aren't doing this in a serene, empty room either.
No, they're doing it in a room buzzing with 50 other people trying to do their jobs at the exact same time.
Often with a punishingly short load-in window, a lot of GTA venues only grant vendors access 2 to 3 hours before the guests arrive.
2 hours? That's nothing.
It's terrifying. So while your decorator is balancing on a ladder trying to nip-tie a heavy floral arrangement, the catering crew is swarming the floor below them, throwing tablecloths, dragging tables across the room, laying down silverware. It is a high-stakes logistical dance, and one wrong move throws the entire evening off schedule.
Wow, and that two-hour window reality really dictates so much of the budget. Because if professional labor and tight timeframes are the real bottlenecks, couples have to figure out what they actually need to pay a crew to do versus what they can just build themselves to save money.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the great, you know, to DIY or not to DIY debate. And the source provides a golden rule here that has absolutely nothing to do with how much money you have or how crafty you think you are.
Right. The rule is entirely about physics and access. The only things you should ever attempt to DIY are items that hold their shade for several days and items you can install the night before.
So it's basically an equation of time elasticity.
Perfectly said. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's break down the safest items to DIY based on that time elasticity rule. Air-filled balloon kits are surprisingly at the top of the list.
They are. The guide specifically points out that high-quality latex brands like Pioneer Balloon, which manufactures the Qualitex line, holds its finity indoors for days.
Right, so you don't have to blow them up on the morning of the wedding.
Not at all. You can literally build a massive, complex balloon garland on Thursday night in your living room for a Saturday event. You're completely removing that item from the day of time crunch.
That is so smart. And other extremely safe DIY items include things like foil backdrops, heavy-duty table covers, candles, wedding tableware, the sparklers for the end of the night.
Just think about the logistics of candles and tableware. You can order them in bulk months in advance, store them in boxes in your garage, and just throw them in the trunk of a car.
Yeah, they insulate you from last-minute supply chain panics. They aren't going to wilt in a hot vehicle. And honestly, setting them on a table doesn't require an engineering degree.
Exactly. But then we have the must-hire items. And this is where attempting to save money will actually ruin your day.
Tell me about it.
You must hire a professional for anything heavy. Any structural pieces that go over head height.
Like anything requiring a ladder.
Yes. If you need a ladder, hire it out. You also must hire out fresh florals that will die if installed too early. And literally anything going into a venue that imposes that strict 2-hour load-in window.
You know, this entire breakdown feels exactly like cooking a massive holiday dinner like Thanksgiving.
Oh, I love this comparison.
Yes, because the DIY balloon garland, the table covers, the candles, that is your cranberry sauce. You make it 3 days ahead of time, you put it in the fridge, you forget about it, and it's totally fine.
Yeah, it's safe.
But the heavy overhead floral installation on a 10-foot metal arch, that is the tricky, temperamental souffle. It requires professional timing, exact atmospheric conditions, and it has to be executed right before the guests sit down.
Right. You do not try to learn how to bake a souffle when you only have 2 hours to get the turkey on the table.
Exactly. And that framework of separating the cranberry sauce from the souffle completely changes how we look at the budget. Once we establish what a couple can safely buy and build themselves, we can finally run the actual numbers.
And this is the best part. Maya's guide provides real Canadian retail prices from their Thornhill store to show exactly how this breaks down for an intimate 50-guest wedding versus a 100-guest wedding.
Okay, this is where we prove the math from the beginning of the dive. Hmm. The secret to wedding decor finances is separating your budget into fixed costs and scaling costs.
Right. Fixed costs are the focal points of the room. A ceremony only has one archway. A reception only has one cake table.
Right.
So you need a gold metal arch, the balloon kits to dress it, a foil backdrop, maybe those giant 40-inch lovebird foil balloons, and a cake topper. According to Party Boutique's shelf prices, gathering all of those focal pieces runs a flat cost of about $325 Canadian.
And that $325 is an anchor. It does not change whether 50 people walk into the room or 200 people walk into the room. It is a fixed point of architecture. But then you have the scaling costs. These are the items that go directly on the guest tables. The centerpieces, the table covers, the charger plates, the napkins, the champagne flutes for the toast.
So putting it all together gives us the final breakdown. For an intimate 50-guest wedding, which requires about 7 tables, DIYing the shelf items we just discussed costs roughly $533.
Let's pause on that. $533 for 50 people. That is incredibly reasonable.
It is. Now, if we double the guest list to a 100-guest wedding, which jumps up to 13 tables, the decor bill does not double.
Right.
It only goes up to about $680. Every extra 50 guests you invite only adds about $148 to your decor bill.
Because you already paid the $325 fixed cost for the expensive focal pieces. I mean, this is an economy of scale in action.
It really is.
With catering, every new mouse to feed requires raw ingredients and labor. But with decor, every new guest just requires a few extra plates and a table runner. Your decor actually gets cheaper per head as the wedding grows.
Which is a huge relief for large families. Maximizing that budget, however, requires operating on a very rigid timeline.
Right, because armed with this budget knowledge and your DIY versus hire out split, you are ready to start booking vendors.
But you cannot buy a single centerpiece or book a single decorator until you lock down the venue.
Oh, for sure.
And that needs to happen at least 12 months out. The venue dictates the physical reality of absolutely everything else.
Right, because a banquet hall has massive 12-foot ceilings that will completely swallow a tiny living room-sized balloon garland.
Exactly. And an industrial loft has, like, a single slow freight elevator that turns a 2-hour load-in into a total nightmare.
Or places of worship. They might have strict clauses restricting open flames or ban you from taping anything to the walls.
Yeah, if you opt for a backyard tent wedding in Richmond Hill, you might have the property for a whole week, which makes DIY incredibly easy.
True.
But you suddenly have to engineer heavy anchors against the wind and build all your latex balloon structures in the shade so the UV rays don't oxidize and pop them. Every venue imposes its own set of rules.
So once those rules are established, you hit the 9-month mark. And this is the absolute deadline to book your professional decorator.
Yes. And the 9-month crunch isn't arbitrary industry panic. It is a matter of sheer physical capacity.
What do you mean by that?
Well, peak Saturdays in the GTA run from late May to early October, and they disappear instantly. A professional decorator, no matter how skilled, can only physically install so many weddings on a single Saturday morning.
Right, they can't be in two places at once.
Exactly. If a company has 2 cargo vans and 2 trained crews, they can only execute 2 load-ins at 10 a.m. Once those 2 slots are booked, they are gone, regardless of how much money a third couple offers them.
So you really have to jump on it. Moving down the timeline, we hit the 3-month mark. This is when you secure your Ontario marriage license. And there is a massive trap here that catches so many overly organized people.
Oh, this is a heartbreaker. An Ontario marriage license is only valid for 3 months from the exact date it is issued.
Wow. So if you try to be proactive and get your paperwork sorted out 6 months early,
that license will legally expire before you ever walk down the aisle. And you will have to pay the fees and apply all over again.
Which is just awful. Okay, so that brings us to vetting. Let's say you've hit your 9-month mark, you found a decorator with a gorgeous social media feed, and you want to sign a contract.
Maya's guide outlines 6 essential vetting questions to ensure you don't get scammed by someone who has, you know, brilliant aesthetics but terrible logistics.
And we can actually group these questions into 3 major traps that couples fall into.
Yeah, let's go through them. The first trap is the scope of work illusion. You need to ask, are fresh florals included in this quote? Are they subcontracted out to a third party or are they excluded entirely?
Because some full-service decorators handle everything, right?
Exactly. While others only provide the hard metal decor and the balloons, If you assume wrong, you will walk into your venue and find a bare metal archway. You also need to ask, is anything in this quote rented rather than kept? You need crystal clarity on what you actually get to take home at the end of the night versus what the decorator expects back.
Right. And then the second trap is the logistical nightmare. You have to ask, have you worked at my specific venue before? You want a vendor who already knows where the hidden loading dock is.
Or which service elevator is broken.
Yes. Or how to deal with the strict security guard. You also need to ask, what is your exact plan if the venue only gives us a 2-hour load-in window?
And you do not want to hear a vague, overly confident, oh, don't worry, we're fast.
No.
You want a concrete logistical answer about how many extra crew members they are bringing to meet that deadline. Following that, you must ask, who is actually on site on the day of the wedding?
Oh, that's a big one.
Because the smooth-talking, reassuring salesperson who sold you the package is rarely the person hauling the ladders at 8 a.m.
Right. You need to know if the lead designer will be there or if they are handing your wedding off to a junior subcontractor you've never even met.
Totally. But the final trap is definitely the most dangerous.
Yeah. The guide highlights one critical question that dictates how your entire wedding ends. Does the quote include the install A&D, the strike?
And just to clarify for everyone, the strike is the industry term for the teardown.
I honestly fixated on this while reading the source because this is genuinely my new worst nightmare. I mean, I want you to picture this scenario. It is 1:00 a.m.
Oh, this is brutal.
Right. The lights have just dramatically flicked on in the banquet hall. The music is dead. Your feet are covered in blisters. You are wearing a heavy tuxedo or a massive complicated ball gown. You are completely exhausted, running on adrenaline and champagne, and you just want to go to the hotel. Suddenly, the venue manager taps you on the shoulder.
And they inform you that, per the contract, the room needs to be completely empty in 30 minutes so the cleaning crew can prep for a Sunday morning corporate event.
And you look across the room at this 10-foot, 100-pound metal archway covered in hundreds of balloons, zip ties, and floral wire. And the realization hits you? You didn't ask if the teardown was included in the quote.
So the decorator has been at home asleep since noon.
Yes. Now you, the couple, have to figure out how to dismantle a piece of temporary commercial architecture in your formal wear before the venue finds you.
It is a brutal reality that happens more often than anyone wants to admit.
Yeah.
Strike is a completely separate labor cost.
Right.
It requires a crew to drive back to the venue at midnight with an empty van. If that specific line item is not explicitly written into your contract, dismantling the room becomes your physical problem when you are at your absolute most exhausted.
So whether you are deciding to DIY a balloon garland in your living room 3 days early, or you are hiring a professional crew to execute a massive multi-arch banquet hall installation, preparation is really the only thing that separates magic from a logistical disaster.
Exactly. Knowing the physical constraints of your specific venue, understanding the distinct operational differences between your vendors, and knowing the exact logistical traps to avoid, that will save you thousands of dollars and immeasurable stress.
And if you want to run these numbers yourself, or if you want to see these fixed and scaling pieces in person to understand exactly what $325 buys you, Maya's team operates right out of their store.
Yeah, they do.
You can visit them at 7724 Young Saint in Thornhill, Ontario, or purchase supplies directly at partyboutiques.ca. They literally have the arches, the backdrops, the tableware, everything you need to construct that magic, whether you're taking the DIY route or hiring their design team for the heavy lifting.
We just keep coming back to that word magic.
Yeah, we do.
But understanding the intense, sweaty labor that goes into these events brings up an entirely different perspective for me. I mean, we spend 9 months planning this decor, agonizing over the load-in windows, stressing over the budget. And it only exists in that exact arrangement for about 8 hours before it is struck down and vanishes forever.
Oh, wow. It really makes you wonder, in an age where every single wedding is immortalized forever online, are we actually building these beautiful temporary rooms for the guests sitting in them? Or are we just constructing elaborate film sets for the photos that will outlive the 8-hour event?
It's a fascinating shift in how we view temporary architecture.
Mm.
You know, the event itself is fleeting, but the set design is permanent.
Definitely something to mull over the next time you see a perfect photo of an archway on Instagram and wonder who had to haul it up the stairs. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us. We'll catch you on the next one.